Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents a production of the Center for Accounting Transformation.
Hello and welcome to Transformation Talks. I'm your host, Donnie Shimamoto, the Inspiration Architect for the Center for Accounting Transformation. During these episodes, we'll be visiting with a spectrum of firm practitioners who are successfully helping their firms navigate the transformation of the accounting profession. With me today is Dustin Wheeler, who is the accounting technologist of iDaily LLP. And he's going to be sharing how he's helping his firm transform their outsourced accounting practice. Welcome, Dustin.
Thank you, Donnie. It's great to be here.
I'm excited because we met quite a while ago. I want to say through AICPA. Was it through IT Executive Committee or Engage? Well, actually, not Engage. It wasn't Engage back then. But we've been talking for a while, so I've been following you and kind of looking at what you've been doing. And I love this progression that you've gone through in the profession. And so can you share with us some of your background and how you came to be doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, happy to. So I'll go all the way back maybe to what really got me into accounting in the first place. And my parents are business owners. So back in my teenage years, I was doing things like matching POs to invoices, and I was reconciling the checkbook, and I was doing inventory counts. So with all that experience, I developed an understanding of accounting and business at a young age. And I've always enjoyed the financial side of business, but I also like the technology side of it. So I like finding ways that technology can help a business to run better. And I'm the type of person that loves getting a new gadget and figuring out how it works. That's a fun way to spend a weekend for me. I feel like what's funny about me, though, is that I'm very analytical and systematic when it comes to managing money, but then I'm very creative and experimental when it comes to technology. So I've always kind of felt like I don't really fit into the personality test into a single category because I go both ways. But anyway, back to my history. So I have accounting degrees, but I took as many information system classes that I could as my electives. And right out of college, I moved to Las Vegas and I got a job there with the largest local firm. And my job there was pretty much strictly tax. And after a short stay there, I left for an opportunity with a smaller firm of about 16 people, which was a good change for me. It gave me an opportunity to develop some other talents that I wasn't able to use at that previous firm. So they had a need for someone to become a QuickBooks Pro advisor and a Peachtree expert, and all of that really interested me. And now I didn't really do a lot of bookkeeping work, but I did supervising of it, and I did a lot of training clients and software conversions and setting up new clients on an accounting system, did a bit of troubleshooting. And all of that came with more client interaction and work that I enjoyed. So the real turning point, though, I feel like in my career was in 2008, when I attended what was then called the AICPA Technology Conference, and now it goes by the name of AICPA Engage. And I felt very energized to meet people who were like me. They were technology enthusiasts, and they were motivated to improve their firms and really change things, not afraid of change. And what resulted from this conference was some significant upgrades in the firm in terms of hardware. So things like dual monitors. And I also helped to spearhead an effort to adopt a paperless office with a document management system. We used Docket back at that time. And the other thing that really got me more engaged in the profession was when I started using LinkedIn and Twitter, and I started blogging, and that helped me to get to know some of the brightest minds in the profession who were and really still are doing some really innovative things with technology. So collaborating with them had a great influence on me and really drove me to do better. So to fast forward now to 2013. Now, this was a time that we decided to move our growing family out of Las Vegas, and we moved to Utah, where I joined with a larger firm now, and was able to use this experience to do a similar paperless conversion. And this time we did it with WorkPaper CS in the Thomson Reuters suite. And I continue to make a push for cloud software. We adopted things like clients portals and other types of technologies that I feel improved the firm. So fast forward a few years now to 2017, that firm merged with iBailey. Now, iBailey is a top 20 CPA firm and professional services firm in the nation. So I was a little apprehensive about this at first. I never thought I'd work for a really large firm. But in retrospect, though, this is it's been a very positive change for me, and that it brought me new opportunities. So at an iBailey internal conference, shortly after we merged, I sought out the partner in charge of our client accounting services. And I told her I'd be interested in a role to lead our systems adoption and other technology initiatives that we had within the group. So now it took a little bit of time to make that transition over, but she created a position for me within the national leadership team with the job title of being the accounting technology optimizer, implementer, and advisor.
Well, wow, that's a long title. I saw that on your LinkedIn, and I was going to put it into this, and I was like, is that really his title? So I didn't put it, but now I realize I should have put it. So that's quite a breadth of what you're having to cover. And I appreciate you actually sharing the history, because I think everyone feels like this is all like a new thing. But really, you mentioned 2008 as the first time going to, at that time, it was AICPA Tech Plus. And that's actually the first year that I was involved in Tech Plus too. So we might actually have met back at that one. Because it was a much smaller conference at that time. There weren't as many of us there, and so that I remember that was a pretty tight community back then. You know, as you've gone through all of these things, the kind of consistent thing I hear you say is kind of like implementing tech and going paperless and utilizing whatever solution it was. I'm kind of curious. As I listen to you, you know, most people think like isn't that the job of IT? Shouldn't an IT person be doing these things? And so how does that tie into you? And maybe that's why this role is called accounting technologist. It's a blend of the two. Can you tell us a little more about like what do you do and maybe why is it you doing this instead of an IT person?
Yeah, great question. And my job description is pretty long. I think I've got a 2-page long job description, so it's not a short answer. But kind of generally, I am a resource to the firm staff members when they have technology questions or they have clients with unique needs when it comes to their accounting technology. So I also have the goals of expanding our use of cloud technologies. I try to find ways that we can automate repetitive tasks that our people are doing and optimize the technology that we're currently using and find technology that we can implement that would enhance our staff's ability to provide advisory services and drive value to our outsourced accounting engagements. So these are things that maybe an IT person without an accounting background wouldn't understand. But something that I'm able to do. So, and one thing that really makes my position a challenge is that I need to have enough familiarity and knowledge of the software that we use to recommend them to the right client situations and have an understanding of the pricing structure of all of that software. So as much as it's beneficial for us to standardize on a tech stack, I think the varying complexities and the types of clients that we have makes that very difficult. So, you know, while we have one client that may need a system that's very robust, another client maybe has a need for a software that's more simple and less expensive. So I have to maybe understand the pros and cons of each of the software that we use. And I'm really a light liaison, you could say, between our accountants and our IT department. I can evaluate software from both angles, from an IT perspective and an accounting perspective, how it affects our end user and how they do their daily job. So another aspect of my role is I contribute to our staff training. And we have a 2-day annual summit that we just had this last month. We also have monthly webinars for our department that are more general, They cover a wide range of topics, but we also actually have a monthly webinar that is technology focused, where we typically invite a vendor to come and present to our team. And usually these meetings result in our staff discovering an opportunity to use a new software with the client that either saves time through automation or provides an improved experience for our clients. And in the last couple of years, what we've done with our webinars, both types of webinars, we've added a Kahoot quiz at the end of these webinars, which I think helps us measure whether we've taught effectively and whether our staff have come with the takeaways that we'd hope we'd expect them to have. And I think it also makes it fun. It adds to our culture. And I think our people pay more attention because of their competitive nature. We give actually top prizes to some of the winners. So another thing we've done is that I've been heavily involved with is most recently experimenting with a workshop style format with our training. So I'm actually in the middle of one right now where we're making a push for our staff to use LastPass, a password manager. So that will help our team securely store and share their passwords. So the format of these, though, is it's not meant to be a one-time thing. It's really a series, and it's hands-on, where our people can't just sit back and passively listen, which tends to happen. But really, they have commitments they have to fulfill between meetings. They're learning by doing rather than just watching. And so they have to apply the things that they're being taught. I'm heavily involved in training. Some of the other things I do is I do a bit of business development and client onboarding and actually some marketing as well. So iBailey has a YouTube channel. There's a few recorded webinars on there that I've done. I've covered topics like accounting technology and cash flow forecasting and key performance indicators, just to name a few of them.
Wow. So it sounds like a little bit of everything, because I'm hearing the training and all that, and I'm thinking HR. So you're doing accounting, you're doing IT, and you're doing HR. You're kind of bridging all the things, and marketing, because you're doing business development and doing videos as well. How do you prepare for something like that? Is this stuff that you've just learned all along the way? You mentioned when you were doing your formal education, like college, you did accounting and you took as many IT courses as you can. So I can see where you got some of that stuff, or was that stuff even relevant to what you're doing today?
Yeah, I feel like it's all been relevant. I feel like I've built upon skills that I've learned in my education early on. But really, I feel like a lot of it is just paying attention. It's paying attention to what's going on in other firms and in the industry. I've gone to AICPA and GOEJ almost every year. I've missed a few of them, but I've attended that quite frequently. And other conferences I felt like has opened my eyes to what other firms are doing. Some ideas we've decided to implement in our own that we thought were good ideas that other firms were doing. And just really following what is making other accounts successful. We've incorporated those ideas into what we're doing.
You know, a lot of what you described, and when you went through your history with us, you had a variety of sizes of firms that you were working in. So this accounting technologist role, is this a role that is only in a big firm like you are now? Or was this role essentially the same, or maybe how was it different in any of the smaller mid-sized firms that you were with?
Well, I think this is a role that would be applicable to any size of firm. I think any size of firm could use a person with a focus on technology, especially as it relates to accounting. I do see my role being different with a large firm than with a smaller firm. When I kind of came into this role with a smaller firm, I was having even to deal with hardware and sometimes helping people to get their monitors to work. We did have an outsourced IT person, but they weren't present in the building, right? And so sometimes that those requests got moved over to me, where I was helping with, you know, sometimes very simple things like, my mouse isn't working, you know. But I feel like with a large firm, it's very much more focused now. I haven't been involved in some of those simple day-to-day things. Really with this, in the role that I'm in now, it's much more strategic. and focused. I've got help from other people. And maybe that's what I can get into next year is talk about some of the how my role plays out here in the firm.
That would be great.
So I do get help from other people. I'm part of a team. So I lead a committee, which we call the Tech Stack Champions. And that's what a Tech Stack Champion is that's a designated person within a region or an office who's the go-to person as the source of knowledge for the tech stack that we use. And I hold bi-monthly meetings with that group of people. We also have a private Teams channel just for those people to be able to ask questions and bounce ideas off of each other, as well as myself. The reason why we have that group private is that our partners and our colleagues can't see what questions our tech stack champions are asking, so they don't see what they don't know. So I guess you could say within that group, there are no dumb questions. You know, we can freely communicate. Now we don't expect our tech stack champions to know it all. I mean, nobody does, but we expect them to be developing a knowledge of our tech stack and to help out our clients and to serve the clients and the individuals in those offices or regions. And since I can't do it all myself, I can disperse some of my knowledge through them, and then they can help out people in their locations.
Would it be fair to say, so when you were with a small firm, you were the tech stack champion, the one tech stack champion probably at the firm. And then as you get into larger firms, we'll see maybe a couple of people in it. And then now at a large firm, you've got this structure where you have these tech stack champions, and really you guys right now it's within outsourced accounting. So each department probably has its own tech stack champion for that department's tech stack. But then they've got someone like you that's more, as you said, more strategic in really looking at what are we doing throughout the firm. So that this, from what you've said, it sounds like this is actually a position that can grow as a firm grows. And as a firm grows, they just need to rethink the, I was going to say logistics, but the structure of how the tech stack champions role or accounting technologist role, whatever we want to call it, evolves as the firm evolves.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can just have one person championing these efforts. It's got to be a group of people, and that's going to vary firm by firm and you know, by different sizes. You are right. At the smaller firm, I was the tech stack champion, the only one. But with a much larger firm, you've got to make it be a group of people, probably with a leader dedicated to that function who's doing it.
That reminds me of something. So, do you have like billable requirements? Because we always talk about that, right? That this billable requirement that drives everyone kind of crazy. Or are you considered like an internal firm resource? What is the role from a firm standpoint in that?
Yeah, well, I don't have a requirement when it comes to charge hours. I do sometimes charge time. I do have a small number of clients that I work with, legacy clients that I've worked with for many, many years. I'm kind of their guy. So I do serve a bit in that role, and it helps me to maintain some skills. And, you know, it's good for me because I still have some client contact and I enjoy that. But then I don't have those requirements, which frees me up to be able to spend time trying to improve the firm, working on the firm rather than in the firm. It also has been helpful in that I might charge time to clients if I'm helping do a special project for a client. But I don't have that pressure of making sure everything I'm doing is for a client is necessarily billable.
Mm. Do you feel a difference in your role because you don't have, was in your previous roles in the smaller firms, small and mid-sized firms, did you have a billable requirement then?
I did. So I was probably working more than I wanted to, was doing quite a large amount of billable work. and try to do other things on the side, right? And I think my billable requirement was decreased to a small extent because I was doing additional things to things in addition to serving clients. But it was demanding, I would say, for a period of time to try to do both.
Interesting. Cause that's always the challenge that we hear people talk about, is that I can't do both, and the billable, because I have to do so many billable hours, that it's just that absorbs all my time. And then I don't have time to actually attend the events, look at the solutions, sit and just think through what really is right. So having that dedicated time, or in your case, the dedicated person, sounds like a big advantage to the firm.
Yeah, I feel like it has been.
Can you give us an example of something that you guys have deployed? You mentioned LastPass already, but I think when we were talking, you had mentioned like even Microsoft Teams and just leveraging some more of the Microsoft Office 365 tech stack. Is there anything you can share with us that's an example of that? Because that sounds like a really easy, like no cost if they already have Office 365 that other firms could learn from.
Yeah, that's been a big effort as of late, and I've been very pleased with how that's resulted in, and I think better communication and better collaboration with our office. So I did play a big part in within some groups at the firm here in using Microsoft Teams, and that really took off during COVID. By the way, in 2020, it exponentially grew in our adoption of it, but it has helped us not only to better communicate across offices, but also across different service lines. And so along with Teams, my team and I have created several OneNote notebooks that we share, and they're accessible within Teams, but they reside on SharePoint typically. And these really serve as a knowledge base. So kind of like an internal Wikipedia, where our people can really on their own go in there and find answers to the questions that they have. So for instance, if they want to find the steps to complete a 1099, or if they want to look up, say, how much the software costs. I get that question quite a bit. How much does bill.com cost, and how much does Dex cost, or different programs? Well, I've got it all there in a database. That actually saves me some time, because I can copy a link to that page and send that out to a person as an answer. I'm not answering the same question over and over again. So yeah, I'm seeing our firm change in a lot of different ways. And I'm seeing though, I guess I'm going maybe a little more high level, higher level than, just talking about Teams here, but I see us automating data entry and really all of those tasks that can be automated. We're spending less time doing compliance work. We're spending more time doing advisory. And so in terms of our people though serving clients, I see less importance being given to where they're located, our people are located, and I'm seeing more importance given to who's the right person for the job and what industry specialization do they have. So I play a role in kind of facilitating that growth and the change that we're going through.
I like that. So you feel like you really are contributing to the change and transformation, it's our word, transformation of the firm, even though you're just per se, I hate to say just, but just within one of the lines of businesses. And that's really cool, especially considering how large a firm is, to feel like you can have that type of an impact. We've been talking a lot about the inside of the firm. I'm curious on the other side though, because you've mentioned some clients, and the biggest challenge I always hear from others is, I can't get the clients to adopt my technology, or my client won't let me use this. How do you respond to that? Or what do you guys do to get your clients to adopt the tech stack that you're prescribing?
Yeah, well, it is a challenge, and I won't say I've been 100% successful, but I think there has been some things that I've worked on doing that has helped that to be more successful than it would be otherwise. And I think there needs to be trust between the accountant and the client. And that trust really needs to go just beyond the financial advice we're giving our clients. We really need to be a trusted business advisor, which I think includes being trusted to give the right recommendation when it comes to technology. I think the fear that some of our clients have is that we'll recommend a technology, but then the client will be left high and dry, right? They'll be like, oh no, I've got a client, the account recommended this, but now I'm on my own to figure it out and implement it. So I think if the clients trust us to be responsive to their questions, and if we hold their hands to some extent to help them adopt technology, they're more willing to do it. Now, ideally, we get a paid engagement to understand a client's current processes, and then we recommend technologies to improve those processes, and then we implement the technology. And I participated in a few of these engagements. But you know, sometimes I think that technology clients just has to be forced upon our clients. If we're not profitable with a client that is maybe bringing in a shoebox of paper and they're using desktop software, sometimes we just have to be brave and have a candid conversation and say we can't continue to do it this way. Being in a from a staff perspective and working with partners that aren't willing to have that conversation, it can be kind of frustrating. But you know, sometimes we need to just tell clients, you know, we need online bank access. It's not an option. We need you on a cloud accounting platform, and you have to do those things to remain a client of the firm.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking a firm of your size is still having people bring in shoeboxes. I guess everyone still kind of deals with that problem. And I like your recommendation that, you know, it's really about having that conversation and gaining their trust. I think that's so important. And I think that that's really what differentiates our profession as a recommender of technology compared to what I often see on the IT side, where they've got a solution that which is the vendor that they're a partner of that they're pushing because they want to get the sales on that. I think the key that you said is understanding the business. And that's probably our biggest differentiator as accounting, or especially as an accounting technologist, is that we understand the business, but we also understand the technologies. And it's really the interplay and the optimization of those two supporting each other that then lets us deliver the best solution as for the client. And I you said earlier, there is no like one answer. I like that you said that too, because that's the way I feel. It's why like one of the things we do in our firm is the same thing. We look at the tech stack and we analyze it. And everyone always comes and says, well, can you just make a recommendation? It's like, no, I need to understand your business. I need to understand some of the nuances of what you're doing, some of the challenges you're facing. And then let's figure out, okay, what makes sense in this whole picture. Wow, that's been great. You know, one last question. Any tips you have for someone that is considering trying to be in this role? And you know, and that you know, they're not really sure, or they're not, you know, how do you start off in this? How does someone get started in this?
Well, I think that starts out with doing as much as you can to learn about the accounting software that we use, and learn how they integrate. Not just know how they integrate, but know the details of how different softwares integrate together. One thing that I've learned to learn a lot of this knowledge for myself is I'll actually use a lot of our software for my own personal finance. So, you know, like I've got a Xero account and a QBO account, and I've got a, you know, HubDoc, and I've tried out, you know, bill.com with some personal things. And if you don't have an opportunity to try some of these things with a client, then try them out on your own and kick the tires and see what you can do and see where you get stuck. And then that knowledge will translate eventually into being able to help a client.
I'm so glad that you said that you use it for yourself. Like I was thinking I'm like the Uber geek using it for myself too, because I always like to do that as well. And then now I don't feel, or maybe you and I are just the Uber geeks, but the definitely great company to be in. I've enjoyed this, Dustin, and it's so great. Like I said, we probably go back 12, 13 years. So to be talking with you about this role has been fun. You know, any other closing thoughts or?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. If you're listening and want to reach out to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. I've got a You can find me if you Google me. I've actually got a blog that I haven't updated for a while, but I did put a lot of content on there over the years, and so I can be found at DustinWheelerCPA.com. That's my blog, and the firm that I'm with, Eide Bailey, it's spelled kind of difficult to spell maybe, but it's EideBailly.com, and that's how you can find Eide Bailey on the web.
Well, thank you. And thank you to everyone else out there for joining us on this edition of Transformation Talks. I encourage everyone who's listening or watching today to come and visit us at the Center for Accounting Transformation. We're at www.improvetheworld.net. And our mission at the center is to provide business professionals with a network for utilizing innovations that are ready for adoption, the training and resources necessary to apply those innovations, and the opportunity to engage the talent and community, people like Dustin, who really help further the pursuit of innovative accounting practices while driving mindful and responsible business performance. Thanks again, Dustin, for joining us, and I hope to see all the rest of you again on our next Transformation Talks.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.